You know, when there's an important event on your calendar, usually you're willing to spend a lot of time preparing for that event. For example, yesterday we had a pretty large wedding at our church here. If I remember correctly, the wedding ceremony itself, it lasted about 45 minutes. But prior to that event, and you know, I was here throughout the week, there were many people who came here to the building, preparing for the wedding, cleaning, decorating, setting up tables, preparing flowers, and so forth. I mean, they were willing to spend, many different people, willing to spend many hours of their time for a 45-minute ceremony. And of course, they were willing to do that because of the significance of the event. Everyone wanted this wedding to run smoothly, to be memorable for the right reasons, to help us celebrate and focus on what God has accomplished in this young couple's lives. Maybe recently you've participated in an important job interview. Even though an interview may only take 1 to 2 hours, you're willing to spend even more time than that, fixing up your resume, doing research on this company, maybe refreshing your knowledge of your trade, even ironing some clothes and getting dressed and fixing up your hair and everything so you could look slick that day. Because you know how important this interview is. You really want this job, so you're willing to spend all sorts of time preparing for it. We actually spend a lot of time preparing for things. We'll prepare the house for guests that are coming over. We'll prepare a shopping list when we go to the store, and almost every single morning, you'll wake up with enough time so you could prepare yourself to be seen in public, taking a shower, brushing your teeth, putting on makeup, and so forth. Now, if you're willing to spend 30 to 60 minutes of your day preparing yourself to go to the post office or preparing yourself to go to Costco, how much more willing should you be to prepare your heart to hear the Word of God every Sunday? As I reminded you a few weeks ago, hearing God's Word is a matter of eternal significance. The way you respond to this book is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of either growing in grace or becoming hardened towards God. Sitting under preaching is way more consequential than shopping or going on a job interview. And yet, how seriously do you actually treat this responsibility? You spend quite a bit of time preparing yourself to go to school or work every day, but how much time do you actually spend preparing your heart to receive the Word of God Sunday after Sunday? Maybe you'll say a quick word of prayer as you're on your way, driving to 710 Broadway. For a lot of us, maybe we don't even do that. Maybe you take more time fixing your hair than preparing your heart to meet with God. Why is that? Why don't we take this responsibility of listening more seriously? Well, I think there could be a lot of reasons. Sometimes it happens because we don't have our priorities straight. We don't think listening to sermons is as important as it actually is. Sometimes we don't take listening seriously because sin has hardened our hearts. For some of us, maybe we simply haven't been discipled in this area to take listening more seriously. We haven't been taught practically how we can become a better listener. As I've mentioned a few weeks ago, I've read so many books about learning to become a better speaker, but hardly any books and any sermons about how to become a better listener. Yet this is an area where we really ought to be discipled. As I just mentioned, listening is a matter of life and death, a matter of joy and sorrow. One author said these words, "Hell is filled with people who wish they had listened and obeyed." hearing God's word is not a matter you want to take lightly. Therefore, you should be willing to spend the time week after week preparing your heart to meet with God. And yes, I know that it's possible to still benefit from a sermon, even though you might come into this place totally unprepared. I'm sure that's happened to you before. You could walk in here totally messed up, and yet you leave here encouraged. You could walk in here unsaved, disinterested in Christ, and leave completely transformed. I know that's Christ's power and his grace. And so I'm not saying that if you're not in a good place spiritually, that you shouldn't just come to church, that you should just stay home. No, come to church. Even if you're spiritually messed up right now, come hear God's word and get encouraged. But here's my point. When you fail to prepare your heart to hear God's word, that's not the most wise or God-glorifying scenario. It would be like trying to run a half marathon without preparation. You may be able to finish the race, but you may not enjoy it very much, and your body may seriously regret it afterwards. Failing to prepare your heart would be like staying up all night and then trying to go to school the next day. You may be able to hear parts of the professor's lecture and learn a few things, but you shouldn't expect to retain too much from the class compared to if you had prepared yourself by getting a good night's rest. And so we shouldn't be surprised that our souls need the preparation. As we saw in the parable of the four soils, there are so many things that could hinder our ability to hear God's word. It could be worries, trials, or sin, to name a few things. And in that parable, Jesus teaches that the primary factor that determines whether you receive the word of God or not is the condition of the soil. It's the condition of your heart. That's the primary factor that determines if you say amen to the preaching or it just completely gets wasted on your life. The author of Hebrews warns his audience saying this: today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The implication there is that there's a possibility for you to harden your heart when you hear God's voice, when you sit under the preaching of his word. And so he says, watch your heart. Make sure you don't do that. Make sure you're not in that place. Our hearts need all the help they can get. Just think of how many sermons have essentially been wasted opportunities. How many worship services have had zero benefit for your soul because the soil was not ready. Your heart was totally unprepared to hear the word. This morning, I want to help you avoid that scenario as much as possible. I want to help you get rid of the excuses and give you some very practical suggestions on how you can prepare your heart week after week so that you can become a better listener to God's word. And of course, I realize that we can't possibly get rid of every single distraction. In God's providence, you might be sick. Your kids could be sick. Maybe you work late on Saturday nights, and so you barely get any rest before coming to worship service on Sundays. It's possible that the person sitting next to you has a funny odor. There are certain things that you just can't always control. But at least we can deal with our own personal attitudes. At least we could establish good habits so that the fault doesn't lie with our own personal negligence. And so if you want to better prepare yourself to hear God's word, I would offer you six suggestions this morning. First of all, I would encourage you to pray. Pray. Hearing a sermon is not merely a physical activity. Yes, we must use our ears, we must use our bodies, we must use our brain. But that's only part of the picture. Sitting under preaching is also a spiritual activity, one which requires God's help. If you understand your salvation, you know this was true when you first heard the gospel unto salvation. Maybe you heard the gospel 100 times in your life, and you rejected it 100 times. And then on the 101st time, you finally came to Christ. What was happening? What was the deal? Well, it was because the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that you might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And so we know that the reason you finally heard the gospel message unto salvation was because God intervened. God had to come in and help you. He had to remove the blindness and shine his light into your heart so that you would finally see Christ and his glory. Without his spiritual hearing aids, you wouldn't be a Christian today. And this is an ongoing reality for the believer. You continue to need divine assistance in order to understand and respond to the scriptures. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start there in verse 6. There Paul says, "Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So notice here how Paul characterizes the word he preached, the message he preached. He identifies it as God's wisdom. Whenever we study this book, we're attempting to fathom divine truths, God's wisdom. If you have a proper respect of God, that should make you feel small. How could I, a sinful, limited creature, understand God's wisdom? And I think this is part of the reason that Paul is so amazed in this chapter of Scripture. Look at verse 10. There in verse 10 it says, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." And so how do we understand God's wisdom? God had to help us by giving us his Spirit. Without the Spirit's help, we wouldn't know God's thoughts. We wouldn't be able to know the things freely given to us by God. Look at verse 14. "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised." When Paul mentions the natural man here, that's us without the Spirit. The natural man is us without the Spirit. So, in other words, without God's help, you cannot understand these spiritual things, this divine wisdom. In fact, apart from God's help, you will regard his truth here as foolishness. You'll esteem it lightly apart from him. So if you want to hear the word in a way that honors Christ, you need to ask for his help. You need to pray. And so I would encourage you to set aside some time to pray before you walk into this building. Pray for that honest and good heart. Pray for a heart that is soft and receptive to his word. Pray that God would help you to understand to receive his word and to apply it to your life. One of my favorite prayers in the Bible can be found in Psalm chapter 119. Turn there real quick. Psalm 119. Here's an example of the kind of thing you could pray before you study the word, before you sit under the preaching of God's word. This is a prayer that I say frequently, in fact, as I'm trying to study God's word, when I'm sitting under preaching. Look at verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. What a wonderful prayer. Open my eyes, Lord. This prayer implies, I need your help, God. I'm not going to see wonderful things in your word if you don't help me. I want to be captivated by what you have to say to me today. But I can't do this without you. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see these things. You know, prayer is especially needful when you're struggling with trials and the various cares of this world. Trials can be a huge distraction to listening well. I don't know, you probably understand what I'm talking about. Sitting in these seats and you're barely hearing the sermon because some trial has you captivated. And you could barely pay attention to what the preacher is saying. This is why you need to pray. This is why you need to get in the habit of praying. God would want you to cast all your anxiety on him, knowing that he cares for you. He would say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then his peace will guard your heart and your mind, and it'll enable you to hear his voice. Because you're filled with this peace all of a sudden. And you're not distracted by this worldly concern anymore. So learn to pray when you're encountering various trials. I would also encourage you to not just pray for yourself, but pray for your pastors. While you need help to listen, Phil and I need help to speak. Even the Apostle Paul needed prayer. He said these words to the Ephesians, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, that to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Even the Apostle Paul needed prayer. How much more me? Would you pray for us? Learn to pray for us so that we would have fruitful study times, that we would be bold in our speech and speak clearly, that we would preach Christ in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. And pray that God bears fruit through this ministry. If we don't pray, we shouldn't assume that God's going to work. And don't just pray Sunday morning. Pray Saturday night. Pray throughout the week. Pray even right now while the service is going on. Keep praying. And then pray even more once the sermon's done. Ask God to help you apply what you heard. Pray unceasingly, my friends. Here's what one author said. Most churchgoers assume that the sermon starts when the pastor opens his mouth on Sunday. However, listening to a sermon actually starts the week before. When it comes to preaching, congregations generally get what they pray for. How much have you been praying about your ability to hear the word of God? If you want to grow in hearing God's word, you need to be praying more. Secondly, if you want to prepare your heart to hear God's word, I would encourage you to study the scriptures prior to Sunday. in order to stir up a hunger for Christ and his word. You ever opened a bag of chips because you just needed a quick snack? And you think you're only going to eat a couple chips, but you eat those couple chips and then suddenly you realize you're eating the entire bag. There's something about chips that just whets your appetite for more chips. Well, I think the Word of God works in a similar way in the life of a believer. When you study the Scriptures, it has this effect where it stimulates an even greater desire for His Word. And that happens because when you find Christ, you just want more of Him. When you find Christ, you're not disappointed, and so you want to come back for more. When you find the peace and the joy and the encouragement that Christ gives through the Scriptures, you can't help but say, give me more of this, Christ. Give me more of this, Lord. I want more of you. You say along with Simon Peter, Lord, to whom else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Why would we leave you after what we found to be in you? Where else are we going to find such true riches? You're probably familiar with this passage. Turn back to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Notice what a precious treasure the Scriptures are. Starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Do you know of any other book like this? Do you know of any other book that is perfect? Do you know of any other counselor that can offer you more wisdom than what's found in this book? Do you know of any other resource that can bring you joy, even joy to the most broken of hearts? Can you find any blogger on the internet who only speaks truth and will never deceive you? Only His words are more desirable than gold and sweeter than honey. And this is what you taste. This is what you experience when you study the Scriptures. You hear the Savior's voice. You taste of His kindness, and you want to commune with Him even more. And so one of the best things you can do to prepare your heart to receive the Word on Sunday is to study the Word before you come to worship service. Have an appetizer before you get to the main meal. Set some time aside on Saturday night and or Sunday morning to meditate on some portion of Scripture to whet your appetite for the sermon. And if you get into the habit of studying the Scriptures throughout the week, you're going to create an even greater desire to hear Christ's voice on Sunday. If you know the specific passage that the preacher is going to exposit on Sunday, it could really help to meditate on that particular passage. You could already start doing some preliminary work contemplating how God might want you to respond to this passage. And this will especially be helpful if you know the preacher is going to cover some topic that you know you personally struggle with. Maybe guarding your tongue, maybe anger or finances, By meditating on that passage beforehand, you could already start chipping down the defenses so that you're more willing to submit to God's will in that particular area. And by the way, I would encourage you husbands, considering that it's Father's Day, you husbands and fathers to lead the way in these things and set an example for your families. Don't just pray as an individual. Lead your family in prayer. Study the scriptures together so that the whole family is prepared to hear the word on Sunday. You men, set the tone. Your life should say, as for me and my house, we're going to prepare our hearts to hear sermons every Sunday. We will take worship seriously. Now, thirdly, if you want to prepare yourself to hear God's word every Sunday, I would exhort you to repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. Unconfessed sin hinders your ability to hear God's word. In 1 Peter, he says these words, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word." Notice what comes first. Peter calls you to put aside sins such as malice and deceit and hypocrisy before you long for the pure milk of the word. James says a very similar thing. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 21. There he says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Now, when you look at the grammar that James uses in this verse, I believe the idea that James is trying to communicate here is this. A valid way to translate it would be, after having put away all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, receive the word implanted. In other words, I think James is saying that you must deal with your sin before you receive the word implanted. Your sin hinders the word from taking root in your heart. And it makes sense why this would be the case. As we saw in the parable of the four soils a few weeks ago, when you hear a sermon, the hearing that God is interested in isn't merely the vibrations of sound bouncing off of your eardrums and you gaining information that way. That's not the kind of hearing that honors Christ. Rather, he wants you to obey, to become a doer of the word. But if you love your sin, if you aren't willing to deal with your iniquity, then you can't possibly hear the word the way God wants you to hear it. True hearing implies obedience. And so if you're not willing to repent, then you can't receive the word implanted because you're resisting his will for your life. It kind of reminds me of what John says in his gospel. That those who love the darkness, they don't want to come to the light, lest their deeds be exposed. Listening to a sermon is one of the last things you want to do when you're living in sin, because you don't want your wickedness to be highlighted. And so that's why it's important for you to repent of your sins before you sit under the preaching of God's word. And praise God that we can do that day after day, week after week. We have such a gracious Savior. You know, if you find that you're having to confess your sins every Sunday before you come into this place, that you feel unworthy once again to try to use your voice, that like that song we sang, "Take my voice and let me sing always for you, my King." My voice says some pretty bad things throughout the week. I've said some pretty hurtful things to my family. How could this voice be used as a spring of praise to you, Lord? And yet here I am again, sitting under the preaching of your word, trying to use my body to serve you, my eyes to honor you, my lips to praise you. I'm just an unworthy, unclean vessel. And you feel that way week after week. Well, guess what? You're not alone. You're not alone. In fact, if you ever get to a place where you feel like you have no sin to confess, John would say that you've deceived yourself. You're a liar. The truth isn't in you. Trust that you can confess your sins to God once again. Don't be tempted to think that Christ's blood has covered one too many of my sins. His blood will never, ever lose its power. Don't think that God can't possibly be just to hear another prayer of confession from my lips. Because the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He is just to once again cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Yes, he can do it again this Sunday. He could do it again next Sunday. He'll remain just forever because of the perfect sacrifice of Christ. He'll always be just hearing your prayer of confession. You will always have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You're not even relying on your own righteousness. You're going to Christ as your advocate, in whom is your righteousness. And so run to Christ, confess, and turn from your sins. He wants to cleanse you. He wants the word to take root in your heart so that you could share in his holiness. And maybe you're here this morning, and you've never, ever turned from your sins. Maybe you've been wondering why you don't like preaching very much. And you don't ever get anything out of these sermons. Well, if you've never given your life to Christ, that would explain it. As I mentioned earlier, you can't truly understand and enjoy the scriptures unless Christ gives you a new heart, unless Christ gives you new eyes, removing the blindness. And if you remain in that state, if you remain in that blind state, you're going to die believing a lie. And you're going to find out the truth one day about heaven and hell and who Christ is, but it's going to be too late in that day. I urge you to turn from your sins today and come to Christ today, and he'll forgive even a rebellious sinner like you. You may think that your sins abound, but his grace abounds even more than your sins. Come to Christ and experience his washing, his cleansing. He'll transform you and make you new. He'll give you new eyes and a new appreciation of the word of God. And suddenly you'll sit here and say, it all makes sense now. Suddenly I hear his voice. This was just dry and boring before, but now he's given me new eyes and I understand now. I could hear his voice. He's actually speaking to me. He must be alive. He's speaking to me today. He'll give you that new heart if you call out to him. Turn from your sins. Turn to Christ today. And by the way, as we talk about repentance, don't just take into consideration your own relationship with God. Remember to repair your relationships with other people as well. Confessing your sins to one another. You've probably been in this situation where you're sitting in these chairs and you couldn't pay attention to the preacher because you have some conflict in your mind. Maybe an argument you had last night with your spouse, or an argument you had this morning trying to get to church, trying to get your kids ready to come here. Unresolved conflicts hinder your ability to hear the word of God. And conflict is not just a hindrance because it's emotionally distracting. Unresolved conflict actually creates a barrier in your communion with God. It becomes a spiritual barrier, not just a mental barrier. For example, you might remember 1 Peter, where Peter is encouraging husbands to live with their wives in an understanding way. And he says, when you don't live with your wives in an understanding way, your prayers are hindered. That's not just a case of distraction. You actually hinder your fellowship with God when you let conflicts go unresolved. And so I would encourage you to resolve conflicts as soon as possible if you want to be a better listener. Seek reconciliation quickly and eagerly, Saturday night if possible. Of course, I know some conflicts happen on the way to church on Sunday mornings. And if that happens to you, don't be afraid to take a moment, sit in your car, to confess your sins to one another and reconcile before you walk into this place. Don't walk in here steaming. You probably won't hear the word of God anyways. Reconcile with your kids. Reconcile with your spouse before you walk in here. And you could have a more detailed discussion later when you get home to discuss how you can stop this from happening in the future and discuss the finer details of repenting and confessing your sins to each other. But at the very least, seek to establish peace before you walk into this place. Otherwise, you're going to have this hindrance in hearing the word of God. And so repentance will help you prepare your heart to hear his word. A fourth thing you could do practically is to guard your heart against filling your mind on Saturday with things that will distract you on Sunday. You know, sometimes it's not necessarily sin that hinders us from hearing the word of God. Sometimes it's just the practice of filling our minds with things that easily distract us, that easily discourage us. There are some things you could watch on TV that leave a lasting mark that are difficult to unsee and become a distraction on Sunday. You probably know what I'm talking about. For example, you could be watching a movie and you're surprised with some violent or romantic scene and it stirs so much emotion that you're thinking about it for the next few days. Or maybe on Saturday you decided to play games all day or binge watch some TV show. And so while you're listening to the sermon, guess what? You're starting to think about the Crawley family. Or you're starting to think about Kevin Durant instead of what the preacher is talking about. And suddenly you don't even know where the preacher is in his message anymore. That's why I would encourage you with these words we find in the book of Proverbs. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The point of that verse is that the heart is the source of all the body's activities. What you allow your heart to focus on, what you allow your heart to treasure, this will get expressed in your thoughts and your actions. And so guard your heart if you don't want to be super distracted while listening to a sermon on Sunday. One very practical way you can do this is by being careful how you spend your Saturday nights. Some of you might have heard this quote before. I know I've said it to my home fellowship group probably a few times, but I like it because John Piper just has a way of saying things. Listen to what Piper said. It astonishes me how many Christians watch the same empty, silly, trivial, titillating, suggestive, immodest TV shows that most unbelievers watch, and then wonder why their spiritual lives are weak and their worship experience is shallow with no intensity. If you really want to hear the word of God the way he means it to be heard in truth and joy and power, turn off the television on Saturday night and read something true and great and beautiful and pure and honorable and excellent and worthy of praise. Then watch your heart unshrivel and begin to hunger for the word of God. I agree with him. Another author makes this very pertinent point. He describes how TV watching and preaching are diametrically opposed to one another. One is visual, the other is rational. One involves the eyes. The other involves the ears. One creates passive watchers. The other requires active hearers. One requires no response, whereas preaching seeks to generate some kind of change. And so after watching TV and going to the movies and surfing the internet all week long, you come to church and have to sit and listen to a lengthy sermon that requires a great deal of concentration and exertion you aren't used to. You're expected to go from being a passive viewer to an aggressive listener literally overnight. That's a great point. And here, I'm not trying to say that you can't watch TV shows and movies on Saturday night or during the week. I just want to help you understand why you might be experiencing a shortened attention span on Sunday mornings. If you get no intake of the Word of God during the week, if you just go to work and you come home and you watch TV shows for 6 days, and then on the seventh day you plop yourself into these chairs once a week, do you think it's reasonable to expect that listening to preaching is going to come easy for you? What you do during the week could help you become a better listener when Sunday rolls around. And so guard against filling your mind on Saturday with things that will distract you on Sunday. Additionally, to prepare your heart to hear, I would encourage you to take care of your physical needs. Take care of your physical needs. And again, I'm sure you could relate to this point. Sometimes the greatest obstacle to hearing a sermon is staying awake. How many times have you closed the eyelids? How many times have you nodded in worship service? And not because you're trying to say amen to the preacher. One of the simplest things you can do to become a better listener on Sunday mornings is to make sure that you get decent rest on Saturday night. Without good rest, our minds are dull, it's harder to be passionate in worship, and we're more prone to conflict with others. Do you remember the account in the Gospels of when Jesus was arrested right before his crucifixion? He went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane in order to pray, right? He wanted Peter, James, and John to come even further into the garden with him so that they could pray with him and keep watch with him. But Mark says that their eyes were very heavy. Instead of praying, Jesus found them sleeping. Jesus was coming to the most significant moment of his earthly ministry, and the disciples are sleeping. And what a sad thought. The disciples fell asleep on Christ when he could use the most encouragement and support from them. And sadly, we could say that his disciples today still do a similar thing. Every time this book is opened and preached, the Savior is addressing you. The Savior is saying, pay attention. He's calling you to heed his words, and yet sometimes he finds us sleeping. I think Jesus would repeat the very same words to us today that he told his disciples back in the Garden of Gethsemane. So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? You could not pay attention to my word for 1 hour? You could not stay awake while someone was delivering to you my testimonies, my law, my judgments for 1 hour as you're sitting under the preaching of the word? Don't fall asleep on me. Keep watching and praying. And by the way, you're not falling asleep on me when you ultimately fall asleep. You're falling asleep on God. Let's try to avoid that situation as much as possible. And so I encourage you to try to get a decent rest on Saturday night. Set a goal to try to get in bed by a certain time. You could also take care of yourself physically in other ways. Sometimes we're distracted in worship service because we're starving. And so you start thinking about lunch. Sometimes we're distracted in worship service because we didn't have enough time to pick out a decent outfit the night before. We didn't get to fix up our makeup and hair the way we usually want to. And so we're self-conscious and we're wondering how people are looking at me right now. If that's you, if you struggle with those kinds of things, then take steps to avoid that situation. Pick out your clothes the night before. Wake up early enough to eat a decent breakfast and so forth. And once again, I know that we can't create a perfect situation. You could have an infant who needs to be fed in the middle of the night, and so you don't always get a good night's rest. Maybe you don't have AC and the heat is keeping you awake. I realize that sometimes being tired is just related to circumstances that you can't control. But at least we could strive to establish good habits so that our own laziness isn't the reason why we're so tired on Sunday mornings. Now, last point I'd like to give you this morning. In order to prepare your heart to hear every week, I would encourage you to cultivate the proper attitudes towards the preaching of God's word. Attitude is important when you're listening. For example, maybe you've attended one of the high school or college graduation ceremonies recently in the last few weeks. Of course, I know that everyone's favorite part that they look forward to during the graduation ceremony is the hour-long graduation speech, right? Everyone looks forward to that. Everyone's favorite part, obviously I'm kidding, right? Graduation speeches are notorious for being quite boring. Now, if you walk into a graduation ceremony already with this mindset that you're going to hear a boring speech, what happens? Well, naturally, you're going to tune out. You don't bother paying attention because you're already predisposed to thinking that this speech is going to be a waste of my time. The same kind of thing happens with political speeches. I don't know who watches C-SPAN out there, but if the person is speaking something from a position that you support, maybe you voted for this politician or whatever, then you're going to gladly listen to that person. But if the person who's speaking is someone that you disrespect because you disagree with their political views, then how do you listen to that person? Well, you start listening with a critical ear, right? You start trying to find fault with what they're saying. Well, sadly, Christians can do the same kind of thing when they're hearing sermons. Maybe you find out that the preacher is going to cover a certain topic, and you're thinking, that's not a subject I need to hear right now. I don't need to hear another message about giving or dating or boring theology. And so you tune out. Or maybe there are certain speakers that you don't particularly connect with. And so when you find out that they're going to be preaching, you start thinking, not again. And so right from the beginning of the sermon, you're already inclined to not give your full attention. That's why it's important to cultivate the proper attitudes towards the preaching of God's word. And so what are these attitudes that God would want you to have? Well, for one thing, you should come into this worship service with an expectant heart. An expectant heart. You should expect that God will minister to you. Whenever the scriptures are preached, truthfully and boldly, then you should believe that God has something that you need to hear. Even if the pastor is expositing a passage that you've heard recently, even if this is a topic that you've studied recently, do you honestly think that you're so wise that you've covered all the depths and riches of God's word? Do you really think that there aren't any more things that you need to learn on this subject? And by the way, here's how you can tell. There's how you could truly tell that you need to hear the same passage over and over and over again. You just look at your life. Just look at your life and see that you're not as loving as you ought to be, and so you need to hear another sermon about love. Just look at your life and see that you don't always use your money wisely, and so you need to hear another sermon about stewardship. I'll stop preaching on a passage if you could show me your perfectly sanctified life in that area. And so strive to cultivate this expectant attitude. Believe that God's word is living and active. Believe that his word is sufficient, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Whether you're in the Old or the New Testament, whether you're in Leviticus or Philippians, God has something you need to hear. And James says that when you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Isn't this amazing? That your Father in heaven, he actually wants to commune with you. You were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wants to commune with you. In fact, he's longing for the day that you're going to be with him where he's at. He wants to have fellowship with you. And so don't doubt that God wants to minister to you in some way each Sunday. Come with an expectant heart. Secondly, come with a submissive heart. When you study the scriptures, you're not just trying to learn interesting historical facts. You're coming before the Lord of the universe saying, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" You're coming before the one who bore your sins in his body on the cross, saying, "How can I serve you better, my Savior? I owe you my life. What do you want me to do for you?" This book demands submission. This book demands submission because these scriptures are God-breathed. In other words, when the scriptures speak, God speaks. The Lord speaks. The sovereign king is speaking you. The creator of the universe is addressing you. This book is authoritative to order your entire life. Therefore, you must listen with the intent to obey. And so train yourself to put down the defenses. To put down the defenses and come with a teachable heart. Make sure your first response when you come under the preaching of the word isn't this where you put walls up. Isn't that how we could get sometimes? Maybe the preacher is suggesting some way that people fail to follow God, and you're thinking, "How dare the preacher even suggest that I do that? I don't do that. I'm not a bad parent. I'm not immodest. I don't have a problem with pride." That sort of prideful attitude is one of the worst things you could bring with you to worship service. Because when you're proud, then you think you don't need to change, and therefore you don't need to hear this sermon. And therefore the sermon is lost on you, gets snatched away. Christ would want you to put on an attitude of humility. Strive to honestly examine yourself and see where you need to change. Believe that you need to hear this word today and not the person sitting three rows ahead of you. Come ready to submit no matter what God is telling you to do. Even if he's calling you to do something difficult, be ready to submit to that. If he's calling you to forgive, then forgive. If he's calling you to be content, then be content. By the way, this implies submission. That it's something active. Something you have to work at. It's not like watching TV, as I mentioned earlier. You have to come to service ready to work. Ready to do. Ready to act. Ready to live. Christ wants you to think deeply and to make plans to change. Submission implies a willingness to actively respond to his word. And so come with an expectant heart, come with a submissive heart. And finally, I would encourage you to come with a sense of urgency. Come with a sense of urgency. Say, "I need to be here. Week after week, I need to be here. If I don't receive encouragement today, I may become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." That's how weak the flesh is. That's how weak my flesh is. My spirit may be willing, but my flesh is weak. I need encouragement day after day. And if I don't do something about the word I hear today, I'm encouraged and I see where I'm failing and yet I don't act upon it, then I dishonor my Savior. You become the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. You're essentially telling Christ, you know what, I have more important things to do right now than to think about how I could respond to your word. You're basically saying, permit me first to do this, Lord. Permit me first to go do that, Lord. Christ says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first his righteousness. Following Christ must be your priority. Be here to serve him. Attend worship services with urgency. To hear with urgency. To apply with urgency. You know, every time I get up here, God has called me to be prepared to deliver God's word to you accurately, boldly, clearly. But at the same time, every time you sit in those seats, God is calling you to be prepared to hear his word. My job is to be the best preacher possible. Your job is to be the best listener possible. How have you been doing in that area? Hopefully this morning you've seen some very practical things you could do prior to Sunday worship service to prepare your heart for hearing. Maybe over lunch you could discuss with your family, your friends, what particular changes you need to personally make in your life on Saturdays during the week so that you could be ready to hear the word when Sunday arrives. And next week I want us to think about what we can actually do. So we talked a lot today about just how you could prepare your way up to Sunday. Next week, I want to actually talk about things we could do when we're actually sitting here during the sermon. Ways we could actively listen, thinking about how we could put the word into practice and become doers of the word. So I hope you could come back next week. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious word. Thank you that you've spoken to us. You've given us these precious and magnificent promises. You've given us these scriptures which are sufficient. And you've opened our eyes so that we could see you. See the truth and the value of these words. Thank you, Lord. Help us to respond rightly. Help us to learn how to listen to you. To obey, to follow. To give you the glory you deserve. Through our listening. Be worshiped now as we sing this song in Christ's name. Amen.